Do women have different pressures and expectations than their male counterparts? And if so, what are they and how can they be addressed? That's what we'll talk about today as I speak with Joy Thorpe. She's a busy wife, mother, and the first assistant district attorney of Rogers County, Oklahoma. Thank you for joining us as we discuss the challenges of women leaders. Welcome to our podcast. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I serve as the director of the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network. I'm happy to have Joy Thorpe join me on this episode. Joy is a member of the Board of Trustees of Doorways. We only have about 20 minutes, so we didn't have time to list all of your many accomplishments, but let me highlight a few. Your undergraduate degree is from Oral Roberts University here in Tulsa. You graduated from the law school at Tulsa University, and you've been a practicing attorney now for over 20 years. You started as a corporate attorney. You had a private practice for a few years. You were appointed as an assistant district attorney for Tulsa County and later then for District 27. You've served as an assistant attorney general, as a senior deputy attorney general in Oklahoma. You currently serve as the first assistant district attorney in Rogers County, Oklahoma. Should I quit? I can't because Joy... You're also married to Jack Thorpe, one of our previous podcast guests, who is the district attorney for District 27 in Northeast Oklahoma. You're a mom to a high school age son, a middle school age daughter. Joy, do you ever think of yourself as an overachiever?
I do not. I feel like that God still has a whole bunch more left for me to do and that I have just started scratching the surface of that.
Have you figured out if you could do more of those things, what part of the day you would spend doing them? Because I can't imagine.
No, but you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And if God has a plan, then he'll find time for it.
Well, let me ask this simple question. I'm sure it doesn't have a simple answer. Your plate sounds pretty full. In fact, there are other items on your bio I haven't even mentioned yet. How do you do it all?
Well, I think probably one of the biggest assets I have is a husband who's super helpful. It seems like my day begins super early in the morning and ends at night, but I feel like everything that I'm doing though is what God wants me to do. And so again, if it's what he's called me to do, then I want to do it and he'll give me the energy to do so.
But do you have any kind of you keep a pretty regular schedule or is it just, you got to go with it every day? It's all a new day. How does that work?
So I am a very scheduled person. I think that's important to me that I can make sure that I get my kids where they need to go, that I have everything taken care of at work that I need to take care of. But when you're in a position like I am and a job like I am, every day is a new day. And so sometimes you have to be flexible with that. But when you have, I've got great parents, again, I've got a wonderful husband and I've got great kids who help me out at home. And so ultimately we pull together and we do what we need to do to survive.
Well, I'm confident that most people know I am not, I never have been, never will be a woman. But I'm married to a woman who has the capacity to multitask far beyond my ability to do so. So do you think that the pressures on a woman, especially at work, are different than those of a man in the same career field?
100%, yes, I do. I think the pressures on women are, okay, well, we have the pressures of our regular job. We need to get whatever we need to do at work complete. But then there's also the pressures of being a mom. And when you're at work, there's the guilt of I'm at work. I should be taking care of my kids. Is everybody okay? But then when you're at home with your kids, you're worrying about your job. Is everything getting taken care of that I need to do as well? And so you use the word being able to multitask. I think that's a really important thing that as women, we have to do that a lot of times men don't do very well. We have to be able to have multiple things going at one time in order for us to be successful.
Well, again, multitasking is not the thing that I do well. I do really well when I get focused on a project, but I can't do multiple projects at one time. And I'm amazed how that works, how women seem to have that capacity that men don't. So help us if you would. And maybe you've alluded to them even in this previous answer, but what are some of the major stressors that women experience that men don't?
Like I said, I think in particular, being a mom, there is a lot of pressure on, you know, God has called us to raise our children and to do what we can in his image. And so it's very difficult when you are at work, you're worried about your kids. You're worried, am I doing everything that I need to be doing to make sure that they are successful, that they do more than I can do in this life? And so trying to balance that as a mom, and I know there's a lot of men and a lot of dads who have that same feeling, but it's just very different to be a woman. We sort of, it's innate in us that it's our job to train our children. And so when we aren't there with them necessarily as much as we should be, it's just an additional pressure, an additional guilt that men just frankly don't have.
Or don't accept.
Right.
Let's talk for a moment about a field that I really know very little about. In addition to you and your husband, Jack, we're grateful to have friends who are attorneys. But do you find that a woman in the legal profession has different pressures or expectations than their male counterparts?
I do. And I know that's probably not popular amongst men for me to say that, but I do. I think there's, you know, we of course, a lot of times I'll be at the same level as another attorney and a male attorney, and yet there's a different expectation. And I'll use this as an example. Years ago, I was in the Tulsa County Courthouse in the elevator with a male attorney, younger than me, had been an attorney less time than me, and an older gentleman got in the elevator with us and said, "Oh, is this your young secretary?" And I remember thinking, why is that the first thought that this gentleman had with regards to me? No, I'm also an attorney, also an assistant district attorney, and had more experience than this male attorney. And so, you know, I think there is an expectation, like a different expectation and sort of a different pressure that we have as women, that we kind of have another hump that we have to get over that, frankly, men just don't have.
You think there is a higher level of expectation for you to succeed than there is for a male attorney?
No, I really don't. I think there is a higher expectation for the man to succeed more than the woman. I've been very blessed, and I know that God has a calling in my life, and I know that He has helped maneuver me into the positions that I'm in. But like, for example, if you look in Oklahoma at the district attorneys, I think there are 4 female and the rest of the 27 are men. And so it just seems as though it's harder for women. And of course, a lot of it is we're juggling being moms. We're juggling having to do all the other things. We don't have time to run for office. We're busy doing everything else at home to help make sure that whoever we're married to, you know, our male counterparts are successful.
One of the things we prepared for prior to our interview is the idea of the differences between a male leader and a female leader. Maybe not only the differences, but again, some of the different expectations. So do you have any thoughts to share about that idea in terms, really, in terms of leadership?
I do. I think one of the things that I've had to learn to deal with, and I'm certainly not trying to stereotype women in any way, but one of the things I've had to figure out how to do is deal with my emotions when it comes to employees, like learning to be a leader and me not taking work home with me. My husband may have had the same or similar situation happen at the office that he can leave at the office. It doesn't bother him. Men handle things differently. If they have, you know, an issue with another man, they talk to them, they work it out, and it's done. It's a little more difficult for women. And so I think me having to learn how to leave those things at work, not take it personally, and learn how to compartmentalize issues has helped me become a better leader. And I think, you know, in particular, I've had to learn how to sort of distance myself from other employees. We make friends at work. You can get close to people. And I think that's another thing that a lot of times men don't have to do. But as a woman in that position, you get close to somebody. And then ultimately, if something happens or you have to get onto that employee or there's an issue with that employee, then there's a lot more hard feelings. And so I've had to learn how to put somewhat of a wall up between me and the employees to make sure that I'm not taking things personally, I'm not being emotional in my responses, and that I'm doing what I need to do in order for our office to be successful.
That is a pretty significant issue. You want to be friends with the people that you work with, and at the same time, you still have to lead them. And sometimes that leadership says that you may have to speak something into their life to, let's say, encourage them in another direction. And it is not always taken well. A lot of emotions get in the way with that, too. And then it becomes, but I thought we were friends. I thought you had my back. And wow, that's tough. People can't see you on this podcast, Joy, and would probably be surprised to know that you're not a very tall woman. And I don't say, please understand, I don't say that disparagingly. But do you think that your shorter stature is ever used against you by others, especially in the legal profession?
I do. I laughed when I read this, going over and preparing for this, because that's 100% true. My daughter, who's 12, is almost taller than me. And so I think that's definitely something that has been used against me. And when you're a prosecutor and you're dealing with criminal defendants, you're going to have people who are going to try to bully you. I've got cases pending right now with people who are trying to bully me. And I've had to learn how to just realize that I know I'm little, but I'm mighty. And if God has called me to do this job, then he's going to give me the strength to be able to do it.
Yeah, you're one of those tough gals I would not want to meet in a dark alley and come up and surprise you, because I'm afraid by the time it's all said and done, I would be on the ground crying. And yeah, I have no interest in that kind of stuff. You're a pretty tough cookie. And let me take a moment to remind our listeners that feedback is important to us. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic, please let us know. You can drop us an email at info@doorways.cc and we'll work at incorporating that topic or guest into our podcast schedule. We really do appreciate your feedback and your input. My name is Rick Shields, and I'm speaking today with Joy Thorpe, who serves as the first assistant district attorney in Rogers County, Oklahoma. With a population of nearly 100,000 people and growing, so that's a pretty good-sized county. She's also the HOA treasurer at her home. She's a mother of a teenage son and a preteen daughter, and the wife of a district attorney of one of the largest geographic districts in Oklahoma. Now, Joy, you've had many professional accomplishments. I'd like, if you would, to think of one that stands out as one of your most satisfying successes.
So obviously, I mean, being a mom is my most outstanding accomplishment. Being able to see my children grow up and watch them grow with their relationship with God, I would say that's my most satisfying accomplishment for my personal life. For my professional life, I think there probably would be a case I tried several years ago, a very difficult case that I tried in Oklahoma County. And it wound up being 3 weeks and it involved a doctor who was overprescribing and I charged her with murder. And this was a case of first impression. This had never been presented to a jury before. I'll tell you, going into that trial, I was really, really nervous. And my husband had taken the kids and had left, and I was about to leave to go to Oklahoma City. I was going to have to spend the night, several nights there, and then come home. And it was daunting. And I was frankly, you know, I was nervous about the whole thing. And I turned on some praise and worship music and began to pray and ask God for peace with all of this. And a song came on, and it was Oceans. And I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar with that song, but the words in it really spoke to me about how God has called me out on the water where my feet may fail. And I listened to that over and over and over for 3 weeks. And I think I drove when I was came home, I'd even listened to it at home. And I know I drove my husband nuts listening to it, but it was on my heart just to keep that in front of me, that God is going, he's going to help me through this. I'm not on my own. And so at the end of it, I got a conviction, and it took a really long time for the jury to deliberate. And I think that was probably my hardest professional accomplishment of my career.
I was in the courtroom in McCurtain County, Oklahoma, in June of 2018, when you were prosecuting a 24-year-old cold case. As I recall, you'd been told there was no way you could get a conviction on this, but you actually won that case with a jury verdict for first-degree murder. Joy, that was no small deal.
No, it wasn't. Now I'd like to give some credit to our amazing investigators and analysts on that, which were very helpful. But yes, somebody that I actually respect told me, you're not going to be able to win this case, but I really felt like it was one that this victim deserved some justice on. And I thought we could win the case. And I was presented it to the jury for about a week. And the jury came back in 45 minutes with guilty in life. And that doesn't happen very often.
Joy, I know that you're a Jesus follower. And while that may not be as unique in Oklahoma as it could be in other states, I'm certain it may also bring some complications. Do you find that to be the case at all?
I think it depends. Are there times when I wish that I didn't have to send someone to prison? Yes. I mean, yesterday I struggled with having to send two young 20-year-old gentlemen to prison. And I mean, it's not fun to have to do that. We offer everybody the opportunity to not, you know, to do everything they can to not go to prison. But these people, these two men, had made really bad choices and continued to make bad choices. And ultimately, they had to go to prison. I don't relish that. That's not a fun part. I wish there was something in me that could say, you know, you're forgiven. Just go find God. He's going to help you through this. But they have to be held accountable. And so there are times when I struggle with it. There are times with victims' families that I struggle with it. You know, they may be struggling with the fact that their loved one died and struggling with whether or not God exists. And so those are difficult times too. And just knowing how to walk people through those difficult situations has helped me grow in my relationship with God.
So essentially your client is the state of Oklahoma and you prosecute crimes committed against the laws of the state, but there are typically victims associated with most of those crimes. Can you ever share your faith with them?
So we do walk a little bit of a line because we are the state of Oklahoma. A lot of the times I'm dealing with victims now, it's more of dealing with victims' families, the family members of people who were murdered. A lot of times I'll just insert things, especially if I know we've maybe mentioned God or they've said something about God or going to church. I'll ask them, I'll say, can you please pray for wisdom? I need wisdom to know how to handle the situation. I don't find myself too prideful that I can't ask a family member who's dealing and struggling with these things, hey, listen, I need your help. You need to, you know, say a prayer for me that I know what to say or what to argue or find favor with that particular judge. I try to insert it there. You know, there are times when maybe someone will make a comment about they're really missing their loved one. And I'll use that as an opportunity to say, well, you know, they're in heaven and they're having, you know, a wonderful time with your other relatives, something like that. So I'll try to work it in. Of course, again, we walk a little bit of a line. I can't push my Christianity off onto somebody, but at the same time, I do want people to see Christ through me and what I'm doing.
You see yourself as a leader?
That was a good question. You know, I don't know. That's a really good question. I think there are days when I do, and there are days that I think, God, why did you put me in this position? I don't know what I'm doing. So I think it's a daily struggle. It's a daily talk with God of, okay, you called me to do this. Tell me why, please.
Well, I'm thinking you are a leader and you have been for some time. I think you know you're a leader, but you hate to have to admit it. So I've written this question to ask ahead of time, even though you didn't give me the answer that you could have. So my question is, was there a time when you realized that you'd been designed by God? And we could say for leadership, or also we could talk about for this position that you currently hold.
You know, I struggled to think as I looked over these questions and was trying to decide, you know, I don't know when I feel like that God called me to be a leader. You know, I think there are times in my life where I feel like I really feel led to do a specific thing. With the job I'm in now, it wasn't really one I was seeking, but God put it in my lap. And I'm so glad he did because I'm loving it. I don't know that I could even answer when, because I don't really know an accurate time in my life. I pray every day that my steps are ordered by God. And so if he leads me towards the path of being a leader, then that's great. If he doesn't, that's great too.
Is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners that you believe might be an encouragement to them in their leadership journey?
I think trusting in God. I think that's a daily issue for me, is knowing that no matter what you're called to do, if you struggle with something, if there's an issue that you're struggling with me, whether it's a case or an individual defendant, it's he put me in that position for a reason, and to make a difference, and to make the Rogers County District 12 community safer. And so doing that sometimes is difficult and sometimes it's hard, but trusting in him to know that he's called me to do that has been something that I have to constantly put before my eyes.
Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed our podcast and will follow us or subscribe so you can be notified when new podcasts are released. And please consider sharing it with a friend. Until next time, this is Rick Shields, and on behalf of the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network, here's my prayer for you. May you have rest when you need it, strength when you want it, and joy when you least expect it. Until next time, may the Lord bless you as you follow after him.